Well, I think just about everybody can recognize that particular style of music, the music of Scott Joplin. And this weekend, the Shreveport Symphony will be performing not one, but two concerts featuring the music of Scott Joplin and more. Joining me via Zoom this morning, Michael Butterman, music director of the Shreveport Symphony. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Kermit. Good to be with you.
And Joplin, indeed, along with some other composers from around the same time as Joplin's life.
Right. So this concert really celebrates the age of ragtime, which more or less begins with Joplin. He was certainly the most towering figure in that very, very important development in music history. But it led into composers like Jelly Roll Morton and James P. Johnson and even W.C. Handy to some extent in his sort of, if Joplin is the father of ragtime, then I think W.C. Handy could be called the father of the blues. So we're going to hear music from both of those two gentlemen, as well as people like George Gershwin, whose early style was also influenced by Joplin. And, you know, what's wonderful about this concert is that we get to celebrate the achievements of a kind of native son of the Arcotecs, who is Scott Joplin, born up in Texarkana back in the late 1860s. And just really someone who I think it's fair to say changed the course of music.
No, absolutely true. And of course, Jelly Roll Morton had a connection to Shreveport as well. So it's not just the Arcotecs, but this particular town.
Indeed, yes. Yeah. So Jelly Roll Morton made his their career, at least early on, playing in some of the, establishments.
Yes.
Down in New Orleans, but authored a very famous Shreveport Stomp, which I assume is what you may be referring to. We're actually not playing that. We're playing his King Porter Stomp in the concert, but the Shreveport Stomp, just as well known probably, and, one of our claims to fame, I suppose, as a...
Well, that's true. Of course, he played in the clubs of the time that were... just to the west of the downtown area here in Shreveport. But it's all very influential music that, oddly, for a long time, as pleasant as it is, really didn't get a whole lot of attention until...
It's true. It was, first of all, when Joplin published the Maple Leaf Rag back in, I want to say it's 1899 or 96, something like this, it became, a sensation. It was the best selling printed piece of music probably in history up to that point in any case. And yet, as the ragtime movement kind of melded into, I guess you would call it Dixieland, and then later into swing era, the work of particularly Joplin kind of fell out of public awareness in the probably 20s and especially 30s. And it really wasn't until the 1970s, that his music kind of came back into general public awareness, primarily through the movie The Sting, where the music of Joplin played such an important role in the soundtrack. And that really led to a sort of ragtime revival or ragtime renaissance, I suppose you might say. But what we're going to be playing, of course, we think of ragtime as primarily piano music, and it was, but there were certainly also ragtime bands that were formed and that played in sort of barnstorming all around. And so we have a sort of a take on that, I guess you might say. We have small numbers of strings, but, we have sort of a big band kind of setup with, clarinet, sax, trumpet, trombone, and a drum set, piano, of course, and a bass player. But we also have three musicians, clarinet, trumpet, and trombone are going to be kind of stepping out and taking the spotlight throughout the concert, off and on, just as a kind of trio that we will be highlighting. So it's a concert that really puts the spotlight on, those three performers, but really the orchestra itself. We're not relying in this case on, a particular guest artist to kind of carry the show. It's really about the music itself and how it all sort of created this incredible stew of inspiration that really led into everything that, became jazz and swing and, even rock and roll.
You mentioned specifically the Maple Leaf Rag, and there's one of those anecdotal stories connected with that, because when Joplin's family, they moved to Sedalia, Missouri, and he was playing in a club called the Maple Leaf Club. And John Stark, who eventually became his publisher, came in there. And Stark didn't know who Joplin was, but Joplin recognized John Stark and started talking to him. And he said, well, can you, you know, he was listening to what Joplin was playing and saying, that's a great piece. You know, what is that? And, of course, Joplin was pretty much just making it up as he was going along, improvising. It really was, you know, in his style. He was doing his style, but a type of improvisation. And he said, "Oh, it's the Maple Leaf Rag," and Stark loved it and published it. So it was just one of those chance meetings. I mean, if Stark hadn't come in that night, if Joplin hadn't been performing that night, I don't know whether it's a true story or not. But a wonderful Louisiana guitarist John DiChiaro, who of course has been on the air here for years, transcribed all of the Joplin rags. He was the first person to do that for guitar, and he has them all. If you ever want to hear every single rag that Joplin composed, you can hear it on guitar. And I think he has something like five albums that were out, well, in the 80s, in that same period that you were talking about, 70s and 80s. Right. And we have a few of them here in all of that, but John learned a lot about the pieces as he was researching them and going back and trying to find the original, or at least some sort of piano versions of it, transcripts in some cases, right, that he can do his albums from.
Yeah, no, there is clearly some, as in much of history, there's an element of chance and just, things that sort of happen and history is changed because of them. One might hope that Joplin's talent would have been recognized and brought forward regardless. But one never knows, really, how that might have gone. But it's, you know, it's interesting. Joplin was really classically trained. He had a piano teacher up in Texarkana who kind of took him under his wing. He was a German immigrant, this gentleman, and said, here's a really talented guy, and knew that he and his family could not afford lessons, so he just basically taught him for free. But, you know, showed him, here's what polkas are, here's what mazurkas are by Chopin. And you know, it's really that classical European, you know, sort of almost march style, that these things are in two or in four, that Joplin took as a basis, and then, you know, sort of mixed in Afro-American polyrhythms and created this syncopated style, which was, at least in his case, as even though he may have been playing some things, but somewhat in an improvised way, he ended up publishing everything and writing it out really quite specifically, play it like this. And then he would always write in his sort of introductions, please do not play this too fast. It is never right to play ragtime fast. Whereas I think the tendency is for pianists to just kind of rip through it.
Whip through it, yeah.
Sounds a lot of fun that way. But yeah, he was really interested in that kind of, well, it's really just the syncopation. And, you know, I just talked about the development of swing and jazz, but, you know, he influenced Debussy, he influenced Stravinsky, yeah, Ravel. I mean, all of these composers that he never met knew his music and liked it and tried to assimilate it into their own styles.
No, absolutely. And you talk about his basically European style training. I know Weiss showed him his first introduction to opera, and mm-hmm. Joplin himself composed an opera that wasn't performed in his lifetime, of course, but many years later and was recorded and is occasionally performed in the stage room in Isha.
That's quite right. Yeah. So I don't know. I think it was remarkable that he was able to kind of assimilate this, these, you know, kind of two musical worlds and create something brand new as a synthesis. And you're right, his opera, well, actually there was another opera that I think is entirely lost, if I'm not mistaken, but Trimonisha you're talking about, which is, you know, has been subsequently, you know, performed and recorded, you know, it was something that he delved into later on in his life as he was up in New York. But, you know, he lived a relatively short life, unfortunately, and didn't really, you know, live to see some of the outgrowths of what his style would eventually lead to. But we've certainly been the beneficiaries of that throughout our lifetimes. And anyway, this is a wonderful concert. We're excited to be able to welcome audience back in person.
Yeah, how about that?
I know. What a concept. There are limited numbers that we are allowed because of occupancy restrictions. But we're going to do two performances, as you mentioned, to accommodate a few more people that way. But the concert will remain available to be live streamed or to be viewed on demand for, I think it's a period of 2 weeks after the concert as well. So really, we're just expanding the access. We're not making it only available to people that are there in person. But if you're able to come in person, and there are some tickets, if there are tickets available, I'm actually not sure at the moment, but you can, we will look forward to seeing, I would say, smiling faces. We'll assume they're going to be smiling under their masks in the audience.
It'll be hard to listen to this concert and not smile. It just lends itself to that. And it will be indeed fun, and what a great mix of music. To get the tickets or to get the link for the live stream, you can visit ShreveportSymphony.com or you can call 318-227-8863. And I'm sure you can get set up for either, whatever your choice is, or I imagine maybe both. I don't know how that works. If you come to the concert, can you then relive it?
That's a good question.
We need to ask our executive director.
let me say yes.
I
would think so too. Yeah.
So, and anyway, if you're coming to it live, of course, it's in the wonderful sanctuary at First Baptist Church, which has fabulous acoustics, and it's a great opportunity to, as Michael said, with a number of players stepping out in front, the always first-rate talent within the Shreveport Symphony. We'll get to hear some cool solo stuff mixed in with the ensemble. So a great way to spend the weekend, and I think a great way to celebrate that we can now, even in reduced audience sizes, start attending live concerts.
Yes, we couldn't be more excited. It's been wonderful to keep the music playing amongst ourselves and by sharing it virtually. But I think you would agree that the feeling of finishing a work and not having that immediate sort of sense from your audience that they actually heard it and appreciated it is just bizarre. So we're very happy to have that kind of more immediate feedback coming back to us.
Yeah, absolutely. I do want to mention, just because we're talking about these concerts, that is it a month old? Is it even that old? But the performance with Francisco Fujana with the Shreveport Symphony airs this afternoon at 12:06, and it's a marvelous sounding concert as well. So and I will say, and the only thing that made me think of that, you're thinking of the response from the audience. Well, the response from the orchestra actually sounded pretty good on that.
That's true. Yeah, we added a little sort of applause of our own, mostly for Francisco.
Yeah.
but it does feel like you need a little something like that at the end of something as special as that Four Seasons that he played. So I'm looking forward to hearing that on the radio here in just a little while,
about an hour or so. So again, that's a celebration of ragtime music. Shreveport Symphony performances tomorrow evening at 7:30 or Sunday afternoon at 3:00. And you can attend in person at First Baptist Church. Tickets, again, available at ShreveportSymphony.com or by calling 318-227-8863. And if you're more comfortable, or if tickets are sold out at that point, and you'd like to watch the stream, you'll have the opportunity over a course of 2 weeks to do so. That stream is also available. Same place, ShreveportSymphony.com or 318-227-8863. So, Michael Bunnerman, great as always talking to you and seeing you, sort of, which seems to be the way we do things these days.
It is for now, but hopefully we're moving in a positive direction. Be in the studio with you before too much longer, I hope.
All right. Looking forward to the concerts as well. And if you are with an organization, you have an event coming up, want to be featured on a spotlight, give us a call at 800-552-8502.